I prepared a little something over the summer that just kind of gives you an idea on what it's like, some of the necessary habits and skill sets that are required to be a good master. And let me bring that up. Everybody's signed up for the wiki now, right? Okay, well, it's still open. Thanks for letting me know about Wakessa, and we'll get you signed up if you're not signed up. So let me take you to the page. Okay, this is the mathematics page for this school year. Make sure you bookmark it because it has all the courses that everybody is taking. So, as you all can see at the end of the last paragraph, it says how to be a good math student. Let's go there. Let's check it out. Let's see what that says. So this is the good versus math student versus the bad math student. Of course, nobody here is the bad math student. All of you are awesome, I'm sure. But let's take a look at this. Up top where it says good math student on the upper left. Sophia, why don't you read that for me, please?
Brother Vagun, you got cut off. Can you tell me, what you want me to read again, please?
The top part on the upper left, first one down, right underneath where it says the good math student.
Okay. Believe in yourself. Reject all negative thoughts that dismiss you as being inferior and accept your innate power. Believe in your ability to accomplish things. You can believe this because you have the power of choice.
What does that mean to you all, that you all have the power of choice and that you are innately powerful? What do you think that means?
You know, we always have a choice of doing good or doing bad. Our reactions, we only have control of two things, our reactions and how we feel about the problem or situation. So if we change the way we feel or we change our reaction to it, then we change the outcome.
Absolutely. And what I left out but is equally important, should have placed in, is that you also have the power of the ancestors. That means you all come from, and of course, when I say ancestors, I mean folks like Harriet Tubman, I mean folks like Granville T. Woods, George Washington Carver, and all types of people that set an example for you on how to be a good math student and how to be a good science student, right? But not just that. I mean your parents your great-great-grandparents, because ancestors are people that have transitioned. So your parents don't quite fit in that category. They fit in the category of elders. But the people that came before you, all those people that did work, that labored in your family so that you could reach this point where you could excel as a math student. The power is within you because they got you to this point, and now all you have to do is take what is your right, what is a good solid mathematics foundation. All right, right next to that, the bad math student. Nasha, let me get you to read that.
Okay, the bad math student. Beat up on yourself, attack yourself every time you get a problem wrong, and say, you see, I told you I can't do this. Do something that you can, do something that you can do to avoid thinking of yourself positively, so that you can look for ways to fail.
All right, so what does that mean to you all?
Do you mean, what does it mean, as in what we shouldn't do or what we should do?
Absolutely. That's talking about what you shouldn't do, because we're not bad math students, right? So this side is telling us that what we shouldn't do. So, of course, now, why would doing this be a bad thing? On the left side, we talked about the power of choice, right? So on the other side, which discusses what we shouldn't do as math students, when somebody beats themselves up every time they get something wrong and then start looking for ways to fail, then they're using the power of choice for bad things, right? Using it for self-destructive reasons. And Abena says, that's right. You when you decide that you can't do it, then you won't be able to do it. You would have already lost the battle. And imagine what would have happened if Araminta, who's also known as Harriet Tubman, had just decided that she couldn't free any slaves. There were a lot of people that would still be in captivity, and the tides of history would have been drastically different. Alright, on the left side where it says embrace difficulty, Abena, one of my wonderful students from last year, could you read that, please?
Embrace difficulty. What doesn't kill you will only make you stronger. You become a stronger person each time you accomplish a difficult task. No push-ups, no muscles. Accept difficulty and take pride in it.
Now, I'm speaking in metaphor when I say no push-ups, no muscles. What does that really mean? This isn't a PE class, so obviously I'm not telling you all to do push-ups. So that was a metaphor. What does that mean?
I think that you that if you don't work hard, you won't achieve anything, because it takes hard work to achieve good work.
Absolutely, I'm hearing wonderful responses. That's right. It means you got to practice. It means you have to get good practice to get good at things. It means you have to seek out doing difficult things in order to become stronger. That old saying, what doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. You all have heard that before, right? That means every time you survive a difficult experience, you learn, you grow, you become more aware, you become more skilled. One of the greatest military commanders in the history of modern warfare is Shaka Zulu, who led the Zulu Empire. And another example is Queen Nzinga. Do you all know why their armies were so strong? You know why Shaka's army was so strong? Was because he used to drill his soldiers. He would make them do some of the most grueling exercises. They would squat, and the commander would just take a stick and strike them in the leg with it. He'd make them run, make them stay out in the forest for days. Absolutely, he literally worked them to the bone. This is why his army ate the Dutch and the British for breakfast. Alright, so right across from that, Bakari, why don't you read that?
Be a coward and run from difficulty. Take the easy way out of everything. Copy somebody else's answers. Pretend that your computer is having technical difficulties when it really isn't.
Alright, so good math students don't do that, right? So, the easy way out, of course, that's why they call it the easy way out, is because you can take it and you know it's a way out of doing difficult stuff. But at the end of the day, when you take the easy way out and you avoid doing the difficult stuff, you don't get strong. You don't grow strong. And you don't move ahead. And you lose the precious time that you could have spent developing the mathematical tools for what you would need to solve our community's problems. All right, the third one down on the good math student side. Jerisa, why don't you read that?
Ground yourself in basic definitions of your subject. Be able to define your subject or be cognizant of the lesson that you are studying. Be able to describe the technique that you are using and the problem-solving situation in which technique applies.
Absolutely. That means definitions are everything. I have to tell you, now that Babu Okessa is in here, of course, and Mama Nabantu, both of whom are language arts instructors, I must tell you, all right, part of being a good math student is also being a good language arts student, because a lot of great math skills, a lot of great math students, also they struggle with word problems, and the reason why is not necessarily any math deficiencies that they have, but because their reading comprehension skills aren't coming up to back up their math skills. So, to be a good math student, you also have to be a good language arts student.
I want to chime in there.
We take our math inspiration and also direction from Brother Abdulalim Shabazz, who you will get to know. He's still living, definitely an elder and one of the greatest math teachers on the planet. And after you discover, because math is about discovery, it is not just about rote figuring stuff what's already been figured. It's about discovering and concluding and problem solving. And once you have made your discoveries and solved some problems that will help you solve our community's problems, you also need to write it up in a beautiful way. And I heard Brother Balagoon say yesterday that while all math books, algebra books, have the same concept, they're not all written the same. Okay, and so being able to explain what you've discovered in a beautiful way is a connection between language arts and mathematics.
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the biggest pains of being a mathematics instructor is finding just the right book, because a lot of them are written with great explanations, and a lot of them are written with not so great explanations. So definitely, folks. Do good work in here, and do good work in your language arts classes as well as your other classes, social studies and science. Be a well-rounded student, because what you will find is your skills in one class will help you in another class. Okay, the next one on the other side, on the right side, Brother Asakar, why don't you read that one?
Who cares about knowing exactly what you're doing? Just memorize what to do so that you can get by, then forget about it when you're done, instead of asking for the definitions of specific terms that your instructor uses. Ask, can you not use those big words?
Alright, folks. So, when I use words like differentiation, exponentiation, radication, you will hear those words. They are math terms, and I define it, and you miss the definition, or you don't understand the definition, you ask me. Do not let me go for it in this class, and you do not ask me what that definition means. Also, as I said on the other side, you want to make sure that you know exactly the topic and subject of what we're doing. I was on my way home yesterday, right? And I asked this young cat. He was in seventh grade. I said, "You taking pre-algebra this year?" He says, "I don't know. I think so." I said, "Wow, man! You don't know the subject you're taking." So that's definitely not what we want. So we want to be in the situation where whenever we're going over a lesson, you understand specifically what we're doing. All right, Brother Easter Cole, where it says do your homework, why don't you read that?
Do your homework. Utilize the SQ3R method. Look at your homework problems to see what they are asking for, then read your textbook and notes, as well as watch relevant videos and supplementary online resources. Then complete your homework problems to the best of your ability. Be sure to start on your homework early so that you can take short breaks to keep from exhausting yourself, and that you can take your time with processing your new material.
Thank you, Brother East Coast. Alright, so pretty self-explanatory, right, y'all? The homework is a huge, integral part of developing your skills. So when you're assigned homework, definitely do it. Okay, on the right side of that, Akanke, why don't you read that?
Homework. Who does homework? Homework is for lame. Stay on the social networking site and watch TV all day. Do your homework at the last minute. In fact, don't do your homework at all. Complain about how you get too much homework. You can just blame your instructor and make excuses when you fail a quiz. Blame your parents, too. They are all wrong for expecting you to care about your own education anyway.
Needless to say, this is definitely not the attitude of a good math student, right? All that to say is to watch the thoughts in your mind to make sure that these thoughts don't cross your mind. know that homework is a very integral part of your becoming a successful student, not just in math, but in every class. And make sure that you don't fall by the wayside. Make sure you don't stay on social networking sites for too long. Make sure that you start your homework early, and give yourself enough time, and use the proper studying methods, and make sure that you have a proactive attitude about getting things done. And if you definitely deal with good homework habits, then your chances of making a good score and learning well and taking away things will certainly increase very much, very much. All right. The next one down on the good math student side, I believe everybody has read something, so we'll starting a round of seconds. Nasha, why don't you read the next one?
Since everything depends on math in some way and to some degree, ask your instructor about application. Let your instructor know about your interests and your goals. Find out how you can use math lessons in not only your future career, but in your current lifestyle.
Who likes to ride bikes? We have any skateboarders in the house? Okay, so East Coast, he skateboards. All right, nice, nice. I used to like to skateboard when I was younger. Those have math applications. We'll definitely get into some of those. Ah, Nasha, snowboards. All these definitely have math applications. And of course, you all are going to grow older, and you're going to get involved in careers. You're going to open businesses, and you're going to get involved in efforts that address the afflictions and problems that face the people in our community. And all of those have math applications. And there are math applications for things that you're doing right now, such as like doing laundry. That's a lot of fun, right? But there's things that we're doing right now, here and now in your lives that immediately have math applications. So definitely inquire about those. As an instructor, I'm definitely going to try to include those already. We'll go into those, and as well as I continue to talk to you all and get to know you all, let me know things. So that it'll give me a better idea on how to talk about and discuss the applications. Bakari, to the immediate right of that, why don't you read that for me?
Where? Avoid understanding the importance of math. Only ask what will I use this for? When you are frustrated and are looking for an excuse to get out of learning, and make sure you follow up and with "I'm never going to do this," so that you can answer your own defeatist question, just in case your instructor actually has an answer to your question.
All right. So that means one, the good math student looks for applications as a proactive manner. And the good math student is actually interested in applications because they are important. And of course, the good math instructor is always willing to provide them. The not so good math student, on the other hand, isn't really interested. It's just not that important to them because they're just kind of breezing through the class anyway, right? And so, but when they get frustrated and don't want to stick around, they'll say, "What am I going to use this for?" Right? they're not asking it for applications. They're asking it for a reason to get out of it. So let's not do that. Let's be proactive. So the next part where it says collaborate with your classmates, this is extremely important because we would be doing group projects from time to time, and you all will be working together on a lot of things. So where it says collaborate with your classmates, Akanke, why don't you read that for me, please?
Be courteous to your classmates. Develop bonds with them. Build upon one another's strengths and know how to work in groups. Be a good delegate of task an extra mile when you are group captain, while making sure that you don't abuse your authority. If you are not the group captain, then respect the position of the person that is. Respect the diversity of your class.
All right. So you all have an excellent position here at IA Educational Institute, and the fact that you have people that are different ages, that are that come from different locations, not only in the United States but in the world. You have people that are interested in different things. The student body at IA Educational Institute has always been a very diverse one, and there's a lot you can take from that, and you can gain a huge growing experience from that. And this is something that is not available in most schools, because most schools have a little bit more homogeneity, well, or at least they try to. And this is also a chance for you to develop bonds, to learn how to interact with folks. The whole idea behind homeschooling as a group is so that you can still get the social bonds and the social interactions. One of Baba Wakesa's favorite sayings that I like is, we use the internet to extend human contact, not replace it. Jerisa, where it says on the side of the bad math student, where it says be an antisocial classmate. Why don't you read that for me?
Be an antisocial classmate and social classmates and belittle them. Then cry sob stories about how the whole world, the devil, and the proper aliens on planet Africa are out to destroy you. That nobody wants to work with you. If you are the group captain, do nothing to provide leadership and then blame your classmates for everything when your group is asking to do. If you are not the group captain, then do everything you can to sabotage your group by refusing to follow instructions that being on call for you.
Alright. So that means you have to respect your classmates. You have to respect your when you're working with folks and when you're working with your students. That means when we're in the class discussion and one of your classmates says something that you don't necessarily agree with, and you don't belittle them. You don't insult them. Now, you can disagree with them, of course. And you can respectfully do it. This is not an Orwellian brainwashing tank. We allow people to express their thoughts here, and you can do that without insulting people. Also, when you have to work on a project, that means you have to be a person that is willing to compromise. You have to be a person that is an effective communicator, and you also have, and if you, in the event that you become the captain of a group or a group coordinator, that means you have to provide leadership. That means you have to be the one to delegate tasks. You have to be proactive about setting up meetings, and is not just something that you can do or say, well, so-and-so didn't do this, or so-and-so didn't do that. You have to be the one to improvise, overcome, and adapt. Abana, where it says, ask your instructor for help. Read that for me, please.
Ask your instructor for help. Be willing to get help after class. If it is a quick question, then send your instructor an email or give them a call.
I'm a very easy guy to get in touch with, okay? You can give me a call. Let me put my phone number in the text chat. Uh-oh, that got cut off. Hold on. All right, that's my phone number, and let me give you a couple of my emails. Those are a couple of my emails, and that's a good way to get in contact with me. So if you have a question about something, don't suffer in silence. Ask me. Now, with one caveat, please try to avoid giving me a call at 11 o'clock at night. Try to call me while there's still daylight. or at least the sun hasn't completely set yet, or it hasn't been dark for a long time. So try to call me before 8:30. All right, Safia, where it says suffer in silence, read that for me, please.
Don't ask questions. You may get an answer, and the answer may bring you clarity and understanding, and who wants that?
All right, so now, that means when you suffer in silence, you're not going to get clarity and understanding. So that also means that if you ask questions and I give you an answer, you don't understand my answer, then let me know that you still don't understand. And be specific. And also, when you ask a question, don't just say, I don't get it, or I don't understand. If I'm giving you a specific lesson about let's just be hypothetical here, fractions, right? We're adding fractions, which we'll be doing pretty soon. And we're adding fractions of different denominators, and I do something in the process of changing the denominators, and you don't understand what I did, then say, I don't understand how you changed the denominator. Does that make sense? Don't just say, I don't understand. Say, Brother Balogun, I'm not quite clear on how we changed the denominator. See, at that point, you're being specific, and I know exactly what to deal with. And then we have the last row on this chart, where it says, have the determination to get things done. Nasha, who is an awesome example of this, why don't you read that for me?
Have the determination to get things done. Don't give up. Don't make excuses. Don't look for excuses. Improvise, overcome, and adapt when faced with an obstacle.
Absolutely. So that means when you're faced with an obstacle, you adapt. You become adaptable. There's an Adinkra symbol of this, and the exact name escapes me right now, but it's represented by the crocodile, and the crocodile is an adaptable animal. It can swim in the water, it can go on land. If it needs to, if there's no food in the water, guess what the crocodile does? It goes on the land and look for food. There's no food on the land, goes in the water. It's an adaptable animal. And we have to be the same way. You're faced with a problem and you can't solve it one way. Beauty of math is that there are several ways to solve problems. And I'll read the last one. The last one is, be an excuse factory. Make excuses for why you're not going to do an assignment before you even try it. Make excuses about why you couldn't do the assignment when your instructor asked you and you showed up in it, why you showed up empty-handed. Of course, so if you all remember these, okay? Remember these on the left side and don't do these on the right side, then you're going to have an awesome year, a wonderful year. And of course, this is what you all want. This is what you all deserve. You all are very brilliant. You're more than capable of doing great things. And I think this is going to be an exciting year where we're going to get a chance to accomplish a lot. We're going to get a chance to do a lot of projects. We're going to get a chance to solve a lot of problems. And it's going to be a great year. So now, let's hit the back button for a minute and let's look at the other classes. In fact, let's look at the schedule. Let's go back to the home page and let's look at the schedule for a minute. Alright, so this is the fundamentals of math class period, right? And of course, this class period lasts an hour and a half. And then afterwards, immediately following, you get a 15-minute break. And then we're going to the environmental science class. Now, the environmental science students, that will be Safia, Nasha, and Akanke, and Jerisa, how old are you? again, one more time?
15.
Alright, so that means you two will be in the environmental science class. The rest of you will be in my earth science class. And that class occurs from 1:30 to 2:30. So, during this time period of environmental science, afterwards, which you're not in class here, that's a time period where you can work on your homework, you can work on additional problems, can get extra practice, you can work on your projects, you can work on things that you all are doing at your clusters. Now, let me emphatically say, when you are not in your clusters, I mean, when you are not in class at the moment, your cluster director is in charge. So if your cluster director has something for you to do, that is what you should work on, all right? Then you should work on that. And if you can also, if not, then you can take this time to be productive. Use this time wisely. Read up on things, because when we give you your weekly assignments, trust me, you have more than enough reading and more than enough problems for the entire week. So it won't hurt you to get started on that. And also, if you have additional work to do, then you can or project works to do, and you'll have plenty of projects to work on while you're here. You can use that time as well. Do not use that time to play video games or to watch YouTube videos that aren't related, because I'll have you watch some videos myself for the assignments sometimes, and so will Bob Wakessa. Do not do things that are not related to any coursework during this time. Use your time wisely. Does everybody understand that?
Crystal.
Brother Bakari, you still have your settings on private messages where your messages come to me. If you still don't have anything to say to me directly, could you take the settings off and put it back on a blank setting for me, please? Alright, so wonderful. So, and of course, after that time period, we have a lunch period from 12:15 to 12:45. Okay, you all, we're in the United States. This is not Italy. And in the United States, lunch breaks are 30 minutes. So do not go over 30 minutes. After that, the other students, my other science students, Brother Bakari, Brother Isco, Abana, and Niger, how old are you? Okay, so you'll also be in that class. Thanks. Thanks. Excellent, excellent, excellent. So that's right. So you all will be in your science period from 1:30 to 2:30. And we have a lot of wonderful things that we'll talk about when we get there. Then next up, in the 2:30 through 3:35 block, this is for my pre-calculus students. If you're not in my pre-calculus class, once again, this is your time to do your things at your local cluster sites. This is time to do your homework. This is time to to work on projects. This is time to read. This is time to do other things, to be productive. Use your time wisely. Do not play video games. Do not watch music videos. You can do all that stuff on your own time, out of school, after you do your homework, of course. And for my pre-calculus students that are in here now, you're more than welcome to also sit in this class to continue to brush up on those skills. In fact, it is highly encouraged. All of your assignments in here, if you are in my pre-calculus class, all of your assignments in the fundamentals of mathematics class are extra credit assignments. Those of you that are curious and you want to know they're doing in pre-calculus. Guess what? You're more than welcome to sit in the pre-calculus class. And so at the end of the day, at 3:35, 3:45, this is when we have our end of the day appreciation ritual, and we all come together.
Am I the only one in the pre-cal class?
No, and yes, Teresa, you may. In the pre-calculus class, we have Brother Issachar, we have Sister Abena, we have Sister Akanke, we have, I believe it is you three for now. Nasha and Safia will sit there in the pre-calculus class just to kind of brush up on some of those old skills. So, you definitely won't be alone. All right, folks. So this class is Fundamentals of Mathematics. Why do we say fundamentals? Because these are the essential skills that every human being in modern civilization needs to have. Why? Because as human beings in modern civilization, we have to fix cars. We have to build houses. We have to cut grass. We have to do laundry. We have to use the internet. We have to vote for political office. We have to manage bank accounts. Yes, Baba Wakesa, we have to pay mortgages. We have to pay taxes, file tax returns. These are things that we must do, and everybody must do in modern civilization. And there are several branches of mathematics that help us accomplish these things. And what are these classes, you may ask? Should I say, what are these subjects? These subjects are, pardon the misspell on the first one. Let me correct that. These subjects, these essential subjects, are arithmetic, okay? This branch of mathematics deals with the fundamental mathematics operations. This branch of mathematics, arithmetic, okay, is, I'm typing this in the text chat as I speak. The branch of mathematics that deals with performing calculations on numbers using the math operations. All right? So it's the stuff that you've been doing already, okay? The stuff that you've been doing since learning how to count. That is the first initial lesson in arithmetic that is embarked upon by all 2- and 3-year-olds, learning to count. As you get older, you learn how to add, and you learn how to subtract, and you learn how to divide, and so on. The math operations. Okay, the word operation refers to something that is being carried out, right? A process. So the math operations are addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, exponentiation, logarithmation, and radication. We will get to those. I'll write these down, as a matter of fact. There's actually one more, and we'll call it factoriation. Okay, so arithmetic is what we learn first and foremost because it is the most fundamental branch of mathematics to learn. We've got to learn how to count first. We have to learn how to add and subtract and multiply and divide and all that stuff. So, now there are certain things that arithmetic cannot do for you. Okay, so, but let's discuss what arithmetic can do for you. Arithmetic grew out of the human need to quantify things, all right? As human civilization developed, and humans needed to find a way to express what would happen if they would take this quantity of rocks and this quantity of soil to build this house. they became creative enough to come up with different ways to do so. So they began to figure out patterns of what happens when you add this to that, and when you take this from that. And they learned how to divide things evenly into groups. So this is the branch of mathematics that addresses our most immediate needs, and that is our ability to figure out how much of something that we have after a certain process has occurred. It is definitely a branch of mathematics that deals with a certain particular moment. For example, right? Abana and Bakari are at the store. Something costs $10. And Bakari has $20 and Abana has $25. They both want it, and they decided that they're going to share it. So Abana contributes $5 and Bakari contributes $5, right? How much money does each person have left over? So let me type that down. Thank you, Mama Afua. Okay, so let me reread this problem as I am typing it. Bakari has $20 and Abana has $25. They decide to buy something together that costs $10, and they each contribute $5. How much does each student have left over? And Brother Eastco has already given us the answer, and that is Abana has 20 and Bakari has 15 left over, right? And that problem dealt with a specific moment in time. It doesn't necessarily deal with long-term future observations, right? That is the shortfall of arithmetic. That is where arithmetic falls short. That is where you must now learn another branch of mathematics. Say, for example, when our ancestors began to observe long-term things like the patterns of the moon, like the changing of heat during seasons. Those types of things required more than arithmetic. Such as the construction of pyramids, the construction of irrigation ducts along the Nile River, such as the construction of astronomy relics. Those things require something more than arithmetic. So out of this grew what we call algebra. Now, algebra is actually an Arabic word. It literally translates as, it comes from an Arabic word, al-jibr, which means the balance. So algebra literally means the balance. What algebra, the more concise definition of algebra would be the branch of mathematics, and I'll type this as I write. How do you spell algebra, or how do you spell its root word? Which one did you mean? Brother Isco just spelled it. Very good, Isco. That's exactly how you spell it. So it literally means the balance. And the objective of algebra, okay, so algebra is the branch of mathematics that deals with the general behavior of quantities in various and various phenomena, I should say. So what does that mean? It means that there are situations where, I'll use this example. Isco and I both like skateboarding. And Isco is accelerating down a hill. And let's say we're both accelerating down a hill, right? Let's say I have a constant rate of acceleration and so does Isco. But when an object is moving, it is moving at a different, it changes position at a different moment in time, right? That means as time goes by, Isco and myself, we are not going to be in the same spot. That is, not if we're moving. And so let's suppose we both have Jerisa watching us, right? Jerisa is watching us and she's observing our position. Let's say Jerisa's taking pictures. We can model, Jerisa can model the velocity of our movement, right? And here's how she can do this. Say my acceleration is 9 feet per second squared. And what does that mean? That means for every second that goes by, my velocity is changing 9 feet per second. Let's say East Coast velocity is 12 feet per second squared. Now Jerisa is watching us. She's observing us. Say she's the photographer, right? Jerisa can say, I want to know what their velocity will be at a certain particular point in time because they are accelerating. And by the fact that they are accelerating, their velocity at different moments of time will be different. So by taking acceleration and multiplying it times time, whatever it may be, she can find out what our velocity is. So say for example, if my acceleration is 9 feet per second, at 1 second, my velocity will be 9 feet per second. And 2 seconds, it'll be 18 feet per second, right? At 3 seconds, what will it be? 9 times 3. That's right, Jerisa, 27. So at 4, East Coast, it'll be 36. 36 feet per second. It'll be at 4. Now, Jerisa can come up with a model. She can say, there is no telling how long they're going to be out here. So what I will do is just multiply their velocity times whatever the time is. The time will vary. Notice the word I just said. Notice the verb that I just used. The time will vary. Well, will was the word. But notice when I use the word vary. Pay close attention to that word, because the word vary, the verb was actually will. But the word vary, that is a really important word. Why? You shall see. Hold your horses. We're going to use the word T. Well, we're going to use the letter T. And when we multiply our velocity, which we know, times whatever T is, which is time, right? That's going to give us our velocity. We can call that V. We'll do the same thing for Isco. So now we have algebraic equations that have something in there called variables. Variables are unknown quantities that can change. So, hence, now we have another definition of algebra. Algebra is the branch of mathematics that deals with solving for unknowns. We don't know what V is. We don't know what T is. But the minute we assign T a value, we get a value for V. That's what algebra deals with. Geometry. Now we're starting to run out of time, so I'm going to let you all we're going to stop here for right now. Now, what I want you to do for homework, I want you to write an essay about yourselves. This will also give you a chance to get to learn how to use the wiki. Right now, I want everybody to put their emails in the text chat so that I can add you to the wiki so that you can log in and you can complete your assignments. All right, wonderful, awesome. So I'm going to add your names to the wiki. And I am, so what I want you all to do in this essay, I want you to write an essay that will tell me about what learning math has been like for you in the past. So let me write this down. Today's homework. Write an essay that tells, one, how learning math has been for you in the past. Two, your current math goals for the school year. Three, your current hobbies. And four, your career goals. All right. So this will be due on Monday. So I certainly will read these. So, and I want you to place them on the wiki. If you want to get started on them right away, and what I'm going to do right now on your break is add your names to the wiki. And once that happens, an email is going to be sent to you. Good question, Isco. That is the address to the wiki. And once I add your names, you're going to receive an email that's going to give you instructions on how to set up your accounts. So follow the instructions on those emails, and you'll get a chance to learn how to use the wiki as time goes along. That'll definitely be a useful skill. And I'll read these essays over the course of the week, and I'll definitely check them out Monday. Is everybody familiar with the math book that's going to be required for this course? Okay, so let's take care of that right now. All right, the textbook for this class is Introductory Technical Mathematics by John Christopher. It is this book right here. You can order this book. Hold on, maybe I didn't synchronize you. Oh, okay, East Coast, so you didn't see the book. It is this book right here. You can order this book. There's a link to it. There's a link to it on the page. Make sure you all get this book as soon as you can. You should be able to find this. This should be a fairly inexpensive book, so it should be pretty easy to get it. Go ahead and order it as soon as you can. You'll probably have to buy it used. We want to start using it pretty soon. All right. So I appreciate everyone. Hopefully we got off to a good start today. And and hope everybody enjoys their break. Yes, I meant to say, if you're in the environmental science class, you'll come to the science class after your break. For those of you that are not in environmental science, remember this is your time to work on any assignments that you will have. You can get started writing your essay. You can get started writing the first draft of your essay, and of course, you know, when you write a good essay, you don't want to just throw something together. You, even though the essay is about yourself, you want to take the time and write a first draft, then proofread it, and then write a final draft in the likes and so on. So, Mama Nabantu's crew, who else am I missing? Mama Nabantu's crew, you are in the afternoon science class. So this time period is your study hall period. The rest of you are in environmental science. Yes, Najah, you are in environmental science.
So what do us in physics do?
So Isakar, you can what you can do for now. Because have you went out to get your books yet?
No, my mother will be getting today.
Okay, excellent. So, but you can, for today, Brother Isakar, why don't you join us and just kind of stick around, because what we'll talk about today is kind of universal, and we'll just kind of join us for today. And next week you'll start conducting your independent study in physics. All right, for those of you that are in your independent study, I will see you next class period. And your study hall, I'll see you next class period. And for the rest of you, I will see you in environmental science in the Sankofa Science Room.
Is anyone still actively in this room? Obviously. Two people up. Let's make a study group. Unique and Bakari, let's make a study group. I just like talking on this page. Oh my gosh. Isakar, if you hear me, just type yes or no. Isakar, can you hear me?
What did you say?
Can you say that again, Isakar? Hey, Isakar, I need some indication as to whether you can hear me or not, so if you could please give me a signal, talk or type, and we can start this. Right now, I'm just here to, I'm here to teach you how to make a page on the wiki. Bubble Kessler told me to do that for you, so he said you didn't know how, so I'm gonna teach you how to make a page on the wiki, so, you can post their homework, post your homework assignments on there, and whatever else you may have. Okay, the first thing you need to do is, you're looking at Welcome to iEducational Institute, Look to your right and you see a picture with a flag. It says to join this workspace. It's cut off a little bit, but still press access. Right next to the, on the right, to the Welcome to Aya, is a link. All you can see right now should be the access. Once you click access, it'll take you to another link where you type in your email, put your name, just say that you're a student in the 12th grade, I think, that you're in 12th grade, and press submit, and Baba Wakeso or another administrator should validate your request, and you'll become a member of the AYA PB Works. All you have to put is a little something just about you, to say your name. It doesn't have to be really long, just a hobby or anything, just to let people know who you are, because they can't really identify you by your email address.
Okay, yes, I did that.
This is something you may have looked over. Once you put the message in your email address, right above send to an administrator, it says confirm by entering whatever letters there in that box. So once you enter that, then you send it, because it'll keep telling you there's something that you're not doing. I don't know if it'll tell you exactly what you're not doing, but alright. I'm going to tell Baba Wakeso to to get your request.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, Isaacar, Bobo Kessel knows you just sent it. He's going to be waiting a little bit for your email to get there. Once he gets it, he's going to send you back your account registration. All you have to do is just click the button and you'll be a member. And from there, I'll show you how to make your pay.
Okay, cool.
Has he sent you the request validation form yet?
I don't see it. Where will it come up?
Have you, did you check your email?
Oh, okay, I'm doing that now. Hold on.
Okay, I've affirmed you, Isaac. I think you are Iceman, is that right?
Okay, I'm checking my email now. Okay, I'm here now. What do I do now?
Are you here, Isaac?
Okay, I'm on the front page. I logged in. I'm here, and also I logged in on the other end, on the approval, the exception in the email, the workplace.
Isaacar, are you Iceman?
Hey, it's you.
What did you say? I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry, Isaacar. I didn't hear you. I didn't have my headset on. Are you Iceman?
Oh, yes. That's my email address.
Okay, so you got the information, right? You got. I should have been back to your email that you've been confirmed. So you and Isco can move forward. Isco, if you go to there, we have the 2000. You have your pages. The three pages that were created for 2000 for this school year.
Oh, which one? The workshop or the IA page?
Okay, now, the first thing you have to do, Isaacar, is to create a student page. Your student page should look like the student pages that you see there for 2009-2010, like East Coast page, all right? You have to create a page. First, you might write down those things. So that you got headings, and then except for where his name is, your name will go, and then where his courses are, your courses will be. Okay, and first you're gonna create one page with the headings, then you're gonna create the individual pages, and then you're going to go back and link put the links to those individual pages on your main page. Okay, that way you know how to organize things.
Did you get all that, Isaacar?
So I'm on the front page. It says, welcome to IA Extension Institute. And like up in the upper right hand corner, it says create a page. Should I click that?
Not yet. Scroll down a little bit until you get to student pages. It's on all those links at the left. Look at all of them and scroll down until you hit student pages. Click student pages and then go to Nisha's page. And you should probably write down everything she has. Substitute her name for your name and her classes for your classes. And after you're done with that, you'll have a model of what yours should look like. So then you create a page. I'll walk you through what you need to do from there. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah, whose page should I, you said to get?
Can you say that again? Or type it?
I said, whose page did you say I should look at?
Nisha's page. Click Nisha's page and then you should probably write everything she has. Again, substitute her name for yours and her classes for yours, and then you will have a model of what yours should be looking like.
Actually, Isco, he can use yours. He can use yours. Yours is there. If he goes to student pages, then what he'll see is he'll see your page.